Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 163 of Fiend Discussions, a podcast for players and DMs alike, where we cover a wide variety of topics to help you with your games. I'm your host, Ryan Reeder, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ben Bumhopper. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
You know, I will say this.
You're sounding a lot better.
Yes, I am much more well-rested because of the three-day weekend, which is great. I can actually speak without coughing instantaneously, which is great.
Yep, it's huge.
There's a reason we're recording this today, aside from the fact that it was a holiday in the US of A yesterday. And that is because I couldn't really talk without basically busting into a cough. It was not good. So yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks.
We're back. Got a lot of fun stuff to talk about, including some really great stuff from our Discord. Also, thank you, everybody who contributes stuff there. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
But first off, let's jump into a little bit of the news, as there are a few things that have happened in the last week or two, even though it's been a little bit of a slower time. D&D Beyond just released their Q4 2026 partnered content release schedule. And this is really interesting, Ben, because there's quite a bit of it. Honestly, there's like seven things that are dropping over the next few months. But the first of which is a brand new class, the Magus class for 5.5, dropping September 29th from Sterling Vermin. Prepare to wield spell and steel with equal skill as the ultimate warrior mage. The Magus class for 5.5 included with the Magus class are six subclasses and over 30 spells. So this one is kind of interesting because I didn't think we'd see a whole lot more third-party classes until the rework was done. But maybe this one or what they've got coming just kind of lined up with a little more conventional classes versus the really out there, hard to like add in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because Magus class, spell and steel. Now, granted, I haven't actually seen, you know, any of the information on it, so I don't really know much about the class itself, but it sounds like it's another version of, like, what is it? The sword wizard.
The Blade Singer.
Yeah, Blade Singer. Blade Singer, maybe like an Echo Knight kind of thing.
And there's also the why am I blanking? It's not the Echo Knight. It's the fighter subclass. Oh God, why is this? You can never remember something when you are thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, it's okay. Move on.
I'm looking it up right now. The Eldritch Knight. Perfect timing.
Yes. So it sounds kind of like a class version of those two subclasses.
Yeah. And the fact that it has six subclasses on its own is cool. Like, I'm interested to see kind of what plays with it, how it works out, and just overall, you know, what it can contribute, which I think is great. But on top of that too, I'm skipping over one, because then come December 1st, we have another new class, which is the Warlord.
And this is a Kibbles class, which Kibbles is a fairly prolific third party creator. Has done a lot of different content. And I know the Warlord class is one of the most popular. And it is interesting to note, too, because they're denoting these in the release schedule. This is specifically a 5e class, not a 5.5 class. Not, again, not that it won't work in your 5.5 games. Obviously, the progression is going to be a little different, and it may not have some of the 5.5 features built into it, like, you know, weapon mastery and whatnot. It is interesting to me too that they're not forcing creators, and I think they talked about this in the AMA recently, they're not forcing creators to change everything to 5.5. Like, they are still putting fifth edition content out and on the website, which is probably a good thing, as there are still a big chunk of campaigns running just 5e. Mm-hmm. That the epic that I participated in the other week was five, playing fifth edition, not 5.5.
Oh, okay.
Which was fun, because then I got my, you know, we talked about the conjuration wizard and the minor conjuration that is one of my favorite little fun little features. So I got to do tons of super creative stuff with that.
Very
cool. I digress. But yes, so it is a brand new 5e class.
Yeah. So,
and Warlord is a class that has been in previous editions of D&D.
Okay. So it is, you know, kind of definitely something that's fitting, something that works, and might be familiar to people who played previous editions.
Yeah. And it feels like you're going to be kind of looking at the full fleshed out, full class version of like the Battle Master or something like that. Yeah, it even talks about change the odds as a brilliant tactician or defy them as a bold paragon, confront your foes head on as chieftain or slip from their grasp as a nimble dancer, stand tall and issue decrees as an imperious noble, or slip through the force unseen as the pack leader. Be the bulwark and helping hand for your allies as a stalwart commander, or crush the spirits of your foes as a dreadlord. So yeah, lots of interesting stuff, but you know my feeling on this. I love new classes. I think there's tons of design space for new classes. So them adding these third-party classes on, especially popular ones, ones that have had good amount of play testing and have been around for a bit, very cool.
Yeah. Anyways, I just wanted to, excuse me, there's that cough stuff. Anyways, I wanted to put those together because they are just, you know, two new classes that are coming in, but we did skip over one, like I said, which is going to be Obajima, Tales from Yadamon.
I've not heard of this one before.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Brand new to me. It looks very, kind of like Ghibli inspired.
Yeah, it kind of. You know, definitely some sort of anime inspiration, I believe, because I think Obajima is actually an anime, maybe. I feel like I'm really talking out of my
butt. The art certainly leans that direction for sure.
Yeah, yes, yeah, says welcome to Yadamon, Obajima's largest city and home of three new subclasses, including the Neko Duelist, a unique fighter trained by the awakened cat warriors that live within the city, which that definitely sounds anime.
Sounds very anime.
Yep. Yeah. Also found in the release is a collection of new spells, creatures, backgrounds, feats, magic items, and all new rule sets for fixing and operating vehicles, which that's always a plus. Because, you know,
interesting
vehicle stuff is something that's, you know, just bare bones D&D doesn't have a whole ton of. So
no, it doesn't.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of, you know, comes with this. I mean, on the cover, there's a scooter. So if there's no scooter in there, I will be a little upset.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. That comes out October 27th.
Yep, and it's by 1985 Games. Sorry, I forgot to mention
1985 Games. Next, we also have Herbarium, which is a 5.5 content by Crow and Crown that is just coming December 15th. It brings the untamable wilds to your gaming table and gives you everything you need to embrace your inner herbalist, including foraging, mechanics, and plants, witchy player backgrounds and subclasses, occult-inspired spells, craftable poisons, potions, and items for lore-inspired creatures and more. This is another one I haven't heard of, but it certainly seems like there are certain types of campaigns that this could just slot right into.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I really like the idea of the occult-inspired spells and the idea of witchy backgrounds. I think that is actually really cool. Backgrounds and subclasses, with the idea of like foraging and, you know, making different plants or finding different plants to craft your own kind of like spellcraft and potions and everything like that. That's actually a really cool idea. That's I would like to see more of in the game, like in the game proper. But in the meantime, we have this by Crow and Crown, which sounds pretty great.
Yeah. And then finally, Baldwin Games is releasing 3 Legends of Greyhawks play bundles.
They are releasing 2.
Oh, yes. Sorry. West Coast Adventurers Guild is releasing the 3rd one. There's going to be one in October, November, and December. These are all for I-5. The October one is 3 adventures for levels 5 through 10. The November one is 4 adventures for levels 5 through 10. And then the December one is 4 adventures for levels 1 through 4. So these are all approved for play in the Legends of Greyhawk organized play campaign or for use as one-shots for your home games.
Yeah. And, you know, we'd previously talked about them going back to some of the, you know, classic settings, Greyhawk being one of them. And here's just kind of like the first couple steps into that world if you're not familiar with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like, honestly, pretty decent content set. And like I said, I've loved that they've been putting out these like release schedules. It's mm-hmm. been really nice to kind of see what's coming. And honestly, several surprises, really. I was not expecting to see as many like class type things mm-hmm. going up as they've kind of been leaning towards.
Yeah. And as you said, you know, the back end must be getting better and better and closer to being finished if they're throwing in 3rd, you know, new classes in there.
Yeah. And speaking of the back end getting better, they also just recently announced that they're going to be bringing in scene prep to D&D Beyond. So this is something for D&D Beyond maps. Virtual tabletop. There's a new scene prep icon. And the panel will basically let you start prepping like location info, map, theater of the mind organizer, notes. You can write yourself little notes for things on the scene that are just visible to the DM. Each one could represent a different scene that could happen in the area. You can add multiple scenes. You can write your preps. You can place and hide your scene pins to reveal as needed. Rename your maps and sort them now. Basically just really nice little DM quality of life improvements coming to maps.
Yeah. And I gotta say, it's, you know, I love the idea of all this extra stuff added with scenes being put in, and especially like the theater of the mind kind of tools and everything that they're adding in, because it gives everybody a really good chance to, you know, use this utility that they're putting a lot of time and effort into. And it's so important for them to be able to support any type of play, whether it's, you know, people who have, you know, a TV built into their table so that they have, you know, a digital map there. People using, you know, a virtual tabletop, playing online, you know, digitally, or, you know, theater of the mind or whatever, you know, just kind of using all that information and everything, for someone who's using, you know, paper minis, things like that. And with them continuing to add all these things, I am, just really excited and happy that they're really making so much of an effort for this. This is pretty great. I'm so happy about it.
It's gone from something that was very bare bones and it's like, oh, I guess I'll use it if I need to real quick, to, oh, this is a genuinely useful VTT.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And gosh, yeah. it's just working.
Yeah. Also, that's something that continues to work is the D&D Beyond content drops. Yes. They have just released their September drops called Magic Expanded and Phandalin's Return. So for players, they wanted to celebrate the new season of Magic. with the first species for drops, the Duskling, and four brand new spells. So Dusklings are basically like magic otters.
Yeah, sure. That kind of works.
They're fey. They're fey. They kind of look, they're very animalistic, planar travelers that use the magic of the Feywild to suffuse themselves with magical effects. Yeah, so they're very animal-like. They've got kind of the, I don't know, like, yeah, dog, cat, otter-ish features, long ears, very, very Feywild. Very Feywild. There's some pictures as well. And then a few new spells, cool things like Conjure Tools that lets you create a temporary set of artisan tools you're proficient with. Feign Interest to trick others into thinking you're fully focused and paying attention to them, which is, I wish I had in real life. Be very useful for work.
So really quick, I just want to throw out there, the Dusklings, they're not the otters that are in the picture. They're the werewolfy ones. Yeah, people look at
well,
and stuff.
It's like, that's what I was saying. It's like the animal face type stuff. Like, they do kind of have like a cat, dog, otter, bear.
It's a furry face. We'll just put it at
it's
that.
It's a furry face.
Yeah. If you're looking at the page, I didn't want it to be confused with like the
ferrety
kind
otter,
of ottery thing looking.
Ferrety otter thing for beast or bond beast, which is
just really beautiful. Well. It looks so good.
Yeah. There was a few other. Pinky swear a vow that lights a fire underneath anyone that knowingly breaks that promise. Like all these are just like silly small things like quick clothier, reshape any unworn clothing into an outfit of your choosing. Like all those things. Super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. Like just a bunch of non-combat oriented fun spells.
Yeah, this is a great spell. Feign Interest. Trick others into thinking you're fully focused and that you're paying attention.
It'd be great for real life.
Stupid little things. I love it. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And then on the DM side of things, like you said, there's the bond beast, a bond with an animal to transform it into a loyal guardian, a mage guard sphere. You bond with a small floating sphere that protects its ward from spells and other magical effects, and a magiplasm. You bond with an intelligent and eerie ooze capable of redirecting magic. And it also comes with some very magic-y inspired maps, an arcane laboratory, a decrepit wizard's tower, and a failed ritual site. So, pretty cool.
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty cool.
I mean,
They're also. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying they continue to just, you know, drop really interesting, weird things from, you know, either previous editions or just cool, neat new stuff. So, yeah, again, kind of worth the price of the subscription, if you ask me.
Yeah. And we talked about these a little bit last episode, but they're also doing the storied encounters now, which are going to be like that library of one shots and encounters that DMs can pull into the game with minimal impact. So they'll have like all the scene prep notes and everything already all put together for like really easy access. So they've upgraded five of their drop-in encounters to storied encounters. Grotto Prison Break for level 1 and 20, Threshold Guardians for level 1 and 9, Bandit Ambush for level 3 and 9, Kobold Surprise for level 3 and 9, and Elemental Incursion for level 5 and 12. So these are just going to be, and they're apparently going to keep expanding the storied ones. And these are just like fully prepped. All the stuff is there, all the information about how the fight is supposed to work, what the map is supposed to do, is just going to be there, and you just start it up, essentially.
And that the example that they have for the elemental incursion looks really cool. I would really like to try that one out. That looks just fun.
It looks really neat. Very cool map design. Yeah, and they said all existing and future encounters released as part of drops will have handcrafted and written adventure content associated with it. We're not quite there yet, but over the next few weeks, we'll be populating our previously released drop-in encounters with new written story text, and we're quickly approaching the point where we'll release a new storied encounter every week. So that's honestly, like, they are really making the case that you're getting better bang for your buck if you're subscribing, what it seems to be, honestly.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I couldn't help myself. I jumped into one of my VTTs and there's a level 5 and level 12 elemental incursion. Everything's in there. They've got the scenes all set up, giving the purpose, different outcomes, location information. Like, this is really good stuff that they're adding in here. Like, not going to lie, I'm definitely more and more impressed with this. And like, the scene stuff is really neat.
Yeah, because there's a really easy way to like flip between the maps and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And just adding them in there, because I mean, before, you know, you could upload your maps, or there's ones that are, you know, from different games and everything, but they've got it set up now. It's like, basic maps, your uploaded ones, quick play maps, then free drop-in encounters. Then they have, you know, D&D Beyond drops, they have map packs, they have source books, they have adventures. They've got so much in here now that is just already available and stuff. This is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. And to even add on to that, this month, they're actually introducing a brand new type of content called Fantastic Locations. The pitch was basically, what if we could offer DMs a way to drag and drop an entire town into their campaign, especially for the moments when players go somewhere unexpected and the DM needs to populate an entire region quickly. They're introducing this new type of content for drops called Fantastic Locations. Using D&D Beyond's tools, they're going to give you an entire region to play with, customize, and build your own adventures from. They basically handle all the prep, and you just add it to the campaign and alter the details as you need to. And so they started with somewhere that is kind of known. The first fantastic location is the town of Phandalin. This is obviously from the Lost Mines of Phandelver, and Phandelver and below, the Shattered Obelisk. So they had a like well-known place, but it's essentially just a big old town map with a bunch of different locations, like the inn, the provisions place, a shrine of luck, you know, like the little forest at the edge, a manor, and you can click into all these different things, get info about them, and then use them and edit them as you see fit.
Yeah. I mean, I've got this pulled up right now. Like, give me one of them and I'll just tell you what it says.
Give me the manor.
Manor. Where are you, manor?
We're on the east
Tresender
side.
Tresender Manor, yes. Introduction. More a castle than a house. Tresender Manor stands on the eastern edge of the town on a low hillside amid woods and thickets. The ancient manor has long been abandoned. And then there's DM tips in here. Talk about bastion rules. Let's see. Location information. Before the manor was ruined, its cellars served as safe storage for food and water in the event that the estate was attacked. An adjoining crypt provides a resting place for the deceased members of the Tresendark family. Yeah.
And they even did mention this is a unique and distinct take on Phandalin. This means it should not be considered an official replacement for the Phandalin you see in the books. You'll certainly see many familiar elements, but they wanted to intentionally stray or directly change things to help illustrate that you as the DM should feel empowered and comfortable changing the D&D content to fit your needs and help facilitate fun for both you and your players. That's really cool. And this, honestly, this type of thing could be super helpful even for my stuff. Like being able to just grab a town, because like I use a homebrew world, mm-hmm. but there are many places on the map where I have like towns and stuff listed. I just don't have them fleshed out yet.
Yeah.
I just don't because we haven't been there yet, or because it's a world. And so there's lots of things going on. But content like this, where you could just basically pull it and grab it and drop it in and have like a map you could show your players just right off the bat. Very, very cool. Like this is very useful for like my needs.
Tiny spoiler for Quest 3, Forced to Leaf. There's an awakened tree named Bartholomew.
Of course there is.
I love that. That's my kind of gameplay. Yeah, that's my kind of gameplay.
That sounds exactly like your kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah, is, good stuff.
Very, very Ben-centric.
Good stuff. Mm.
But yeah, so that is all up on D&D Beyond Drops for September. And finally, for those that pre-ordered on D&D Beyond, the digital version of Arcana Unleashed is now accessible. You can get it. You can also, if you own it, you can go through, read the digital version. Friendly local game stores also have copies. I know this because I saw them in my friendly local game store the other day. All of the Arcana Unleashed was sold out, but there were still a few of the adventure left. But yeah, so they're out at your friendly local game store now if you're looking for a physical copy or that collector's edition cover. So go check that out, and we'll be diving into this a lot more probably next episode once we get the chance to start combing through and checking out the new stuff.
Yep. Yeah, we'll take a look at Deadfall as well as the Arcana Unleashed. So cool stuff coming ahead.
Cool stuff. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about our topic for the evening. And this kind of comes to us, again, from our Discord as a really great question. This was asked by a listener when they were talking about like things to watch out for when you're joining a game, or things to watch out for while you're playing in a game, right? So we're calling this topic red flags for your game.
Yes.
And the question was just essentially, one of our previous episodes made them think of red flags in game listings, what players should consider before signing up, especially if you mostly play online. Right. And so I think that's a really great question, because I know a lot of people do play online, and I know a lot of people just try. It's one of those things where you just try and find a game, right? You may not have a local community, or at least may not be a part of one. You may be, don't have any friends who are into tabletop RPGs, and you go to like D&D Beyond looking for group, or you do like startplaying.games, or just another forum or a Discord or something like that to try and find a group. And there's so many DMs that will advertise on these types of places. Usually they'll let you know the type of game, the system they're running and such. But there are definitely things to look for before you even join that can be potential red flags, because at the end of the day, you don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste other people's time. And you don't want to get into a bad situation, especially one that you were unaware of. So there are definitely things you can look out for. One is just content, right? make sure that whatever you're looking for has the content listed. Like, what type of game is this going to be? What type of content is the DM going to run? Are there things that they are banning? Right. We talked a little bit about this in just a recent previous episode, where I personally would be a little leery of a DM that banned too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it was a general game, and not like I can get behind it a little more. It's just like, this is going to be a low magic desert setting, and so I am limiting it to things that would fit in that. Okay, sure. I know going into it, it's a low magic desert setting, and there are a decent amount of restrictions. And if that's something I want to play in, great. I can hop into that.
And like, to go along with that, to kind of fit with the theme, you know, maybe it's more of a survival type game. So they're going to ban like create food and water as a spell, because that's the point of the gameplay, is to, you know, work on surviving and not just being able to magically fix all the things that are wrong. So not necessarily a red flag for some people who want to play in that game, but if it's content and something that you don't like, then yes, that is something that you want to avoid. I think really quick, we should just kind of just toss out some of the things that the poster in our Discord kind of said that they see as red flags, which I think that we can just, you know, kind of cover really quick. I think some of these are super obvious, and then kind of go over for some of the others. Like, you know, if there's an emphasis on violence and abuse, that's definitely a red flag for, I would think, quite a lot of people. In fact, you and I actually talked about this, about the Black Sun campaign setting, where it's very brutal. It is definitely not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I know personally, you know, any sort of like storyline stuff that kind of, you know, goes along with abuse, it's something that I don't really want to, you know, sink my teeth in. You know, I'm not wanting to explore those themes or, you know, work through something along those lines for the most part. Extreme violence also, you know, look, I like a good slasher movie now and then, you know, a good action movie now and then, but it doesn't mean that I want to be just bombarded with, you know, really heavy violent stuff throughout all of my game playing. So,
I mean, I think super heavy themes in general for are at least not, if not a red flag, a yellow flag type thing. Especially for a group that you're just going to randomly dive in with that you don't know beforehand. Like, I am much more comfortable dealing with certain heavier themes with, say, the group I'm a part of now. But that's more because I played with several of the people for years and we trust each other,
mm-hmm.
and we've had a very good discussion on, you know,
like limits.
What people's lines are, what their, you know, the lines and veils type things. And we've had our session zero and everything. And so I think I would yellow flag any sort of super heavy type themes in just a mm-hmm. random game. And I would certainly yellow flag, if not red flag, a DM who was not willing to have a session zero.
Yes. Yeah. Something along those lines, especially talking about theming, what people are comfortable with, especially, like you said, if it's someone that you don't know, like going back to just, you know, the ultra violent stuff, or even maybe the abuse, it's still something that I wouldn't want to, you know, actively seek out and play in a lot, but I would trust the people that who I normally play with to touch on those themes, knowing that, yes, there are going to be hard limits, or there, it can be implied more than just, you know, visceral, you know, gameplay and stuff like that. So that's a very good point that you made, that it is very much a thing about trust. And again, session zeros definitely go into all of that. There are also like things that are, you know, AI generated. I personally am not a big fan of that.
That would definitely be a yellow flag for me.
Yeah. I'm I'm against
if not an outright red flag, it's because it's the same feeling I get when I walk by a business and I just see a big old AI generated flyer.
Mm-hmm.
To me, all that says is you did not care enough to make this yourself.
Yeah.
You did not care enough to design it yourself, or you did not care enough to pay someone to make something good versus the AI slop. This looks like generic McGeneric poster or whatever, like the thousand other ones that you can always tell have just those telltale AI generated signs. So if you're using AI generated art as your like big, you know, logo for your campaign you're trying to get me to join, if you've got what is obviously a bunch of AI generated text or placeholder type stuff, that makes me very leery that you do not care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Like or like the effort that you're putting in is not there. Right. I think I saw this discussion. It might've been on a forum or Blue Sky or something about how I will be far more interested in you or your business or whatever. Even if you just make a silly, fun little stick figure thing for your small business versus pumping out some AI slop pamphlet or flyer.
Exactly. And, you know, there's the whole, hey, my map is just a grid with lines drawn on it. That's what it is. Versus, you know, well, I, you know, went to ChatGPT and asked them to pull up a map that had all these things on it. And I mean, yeah, you can tell that it's, you know, AI, but you know, it looks great because it has colors and all the, no, it's, I'm good. Don't need any of that stuff.
It's the intent and creativity and I guess just I say intent behind it. The creative energy, yeah. Right? It's the, I took time to make this or do this in this map editor or writing it down or coming up with this story. And we're not talking about name generators, right? We're not talking about these tools that have been around for decades.
This is
like fantasy name generator
that ChatGPT threw out for me. Isn't it great?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, no, that tells me you are not serious.
Yeah. This is the town that I had made up and these are the different businesses and everything. And here's the list of every single person who lives there. And it's like, no, I'm no. That's not. Yeah,
you have no vested interest in this. You have no like no creative energy input put into this. You're basically throwing out soulless things.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that's what AI is at the end of the day.
I mean, to put it in perspective, my homebrew world, I created all of it. Except for the names, because those are hard. Those are really hard. Some places I've made up, some places I'm like, what's a good town name? That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Another thing that the OP put in here that I think is actually a really good thing that people might not, kind of catch on quickly enough is repeated listings to fill like the same place. You know, same game. So like if multiple people keep dropping out and they're constantly trying to fill that game, that might be one to stay away from. Now I understand that schedules change, but
it does happen occasionally.
Yeah. I mean, if they're looking for 2-3 people, like every single week to fill in the same game that they're just trying to keep running, there's a problem there, whether it's one of the players in the group or the DM or something. Yeah, because as we've said before many times, no D&D is better than bad D&D, and people are dropping out for a reason.
Unless it specifically is a West Marches style
game. Yeah, that's
which
something
also
entirely
be
different.
Sure to look, look for those types of things, because that is a style and a genre that you may or may not like. But I know, like, my local game store has one. It just runs every week, and you just show up and you can play if you want to that week, and there's no other obligations, because there's a town hub, and you go out and you adventure for the day, and then you come back, and there's a bunch of people that live in that town, and you are one of them.
Exactly.
So, like, there, those types of things can be very fun, but make sure that's your expectations are set the right way for what you're looking for.
Yeah. And then last but not least, what OP suggested is, the DM is running their own system. You know, something that's unnamed, it's unspecified. And they are tagging it as like a playtest. This I think is a big one, because homebrew rules are one thing, but completely having a brand new system that they're making that, you know, hasn't been playtested, that is probably unbalanced, that isn't, you know, some sort of published thing. You really need to know what you're getting into. If this is something that you want to jump in at the ground floor and try out, or, you know, want to help a friend or something like that, something entirely different. But if they're not really like tagging it as, hey, this is something new, something to try out, and they're trying to like kind of, you know, pull a fast one over on you, that it might be a good idea to kind of duck out of that one.
And I mean, along those same lines, Ben, I would say, DMs who constantly throw homebrew rules at you but won't disclose them ahead of time.
Yes.
And obviously that can come up occasionally, even in normal games. And obviously there is some stuff you have to make up on the fly or just make a ruling for, right?
Yeah.
That's
different.
Normal.
Yeah.
That's different. I'm talking about like, no, you can't do this in this world.
Yeah.
XYZ. And that comes up a lot. Or
no, I'm sorry, but
you can't just do this.
Yeah. Fire spells can't be used because the air is thin here. It's you just can't. Well, why didn't you tell me that before when I made my, you know, conflagration wizard, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Who I'm leaning into fire spells as a fire genasi, you know, it's like, no, that's something's weird about that.
Yeah, it's the I guess the way to sum up that would be the constant or the high level of taking away player agency.
Yeah, shifting of goalposts and in kind of in that instance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be a huge red flag for me, for sure. Because I want to know what I'm getting into. And if the rules keep changing every session or every other session or something like that, especially in a way that was not telegraphed and you were not able to prepare for, that would drive me bonkers.
Yeah. So some other red flags that you might not be able to tell beforehand, but one that I would highly be on the lookout for is the age old DM PC. So anytime that you're playing in a game and you're going against something that's like, you know, a group that's super overpowered, it's going to be a TPK, but suddenly the hero steps in and saves you. And it's this character that the DM just kind of throws in there who goes in and wipes out, and they're the best and the greatest and everything. And then it turns out that they're always stepping in to save you. Or they're the one, or that character is tasked with the quest that they have to, you know, go save the world. And you're their squires and you're just going with them, you know, kind of forcing you into situations that you'll never be able to really meaningfully contribute to or anything like that. Basically, if the DM has put in a character who needs to be the hero in the center of the story, it is not going to be a fun game to play in. Now, this is different than the DM putting in a character who is like guiding you, but not really contributing. Or like, you know, an NPC for like an escort or something like that. Like anytime that I've had a NPC kind of come along with them on an adventure or something like that, they're not the heroes. They're kind of there. They don't give input on what should be done next. You know, they're just kind of there as backup to kind of facilitate some of the story, not lead the way through it. And if a DM is more interested in making their own character shine instead of you, then serious red flag. It's not a game for you. It's a game for the DM, and they might as well just be writing a book at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the real ways you can kind of see through something like that is, there are certainly times, and there are times in my own games where I've had an NPC that has been with the party a lot, mm-hmm. right? Or that they're just stuck with for a while for whatever reason, right? That is not necessarily an oddity. like Ben said, the big thing to make sure is that is not the thing that shines most of the time. Mm-hmm. That is the thing that takes a back seat. That is the thing that is, like, as a DM, a lot of times I will ask if, like, let's say we get into combat, right? I'll ask, what do you think they should do? Or yell out who they should focus on, right? Because I want the PCs to have more input mm-hmm. into that sort of thing. Not necessarily full autonomy, right? Although there are times when, especially for bigger fights, I will straight up let players control NPCs that may not be crucial to the story.
Yeah.
So that they can help drive and I can focus on what I need to do as the DM and not worry about micromanaging characters. Yep. Right. So yeah, there's a lot of that type of thing. But like Ben said, the biggest thing when you have those DM PC type things, especially big name characters or ones that stick around, you can give them the little moment to shine, but don't hog the spotlight.
Yeah.
Because remember, this is a story about the players and you're helping facilitate it.
Yeah.
And while people come and go, step in and step out, the players should be the central focus.
Yeah. It's one of those things where if that ever happens, I'm always trying to get them away from the party for whatever reason possible. Like, I'm going to go divert the monsters this way while you go that way. Or I'm going to guard the ship, or, you know, like something along those lines. It's like you're, as a DM, you should really be trying to get them out of the situation as much as possible. That's a
lot of extra work.
Yeah, that too.
A lot of extra work just on top of everything else. It's a lot of extra work. Yeah, no, I think that is a really good one to watch out for. And I mean, as DMs, we can all fall into that trap, right? Like that's something that is very, very normal. It's just something to be watching for, right? There are levels of it, and there is a perfectly usable for story and overboard. And you just want to make sure you don't tip into the overboard. Trying to think if there was anything else super big that I don't have written down that I would call out.
Oh, definitely. If the DM is definitely playing favoritism to one player,
favoritism, that's
giving them
one.
All of the, you know, the good gear, letting them shine throughout the story the entire time. That's definitely one thing that you want to be kind of on the lookout for. You know, this happens sometimes and again, this goes back into red flags as well. If the DM's like trying to date someone in the party or in the group, and they're constantly giving them all the good stuff and attention and everything, there are very immature people out there who think that that's the way to go about an actual relationship. That's not. There's also definitely, you know, People who, you know, maybe they just don't like one of the players. So they're constantly having all the monsters attack them for some unknown reason. You know, like it makes no logical sense that this bugbear from across the map is going to run at this wizard when there's three other targets in between them. So, you know, favoritism and, you know, least favoritism, which I can't think of the word for that right now, other than like utter hatred or something. You know, big red flags, be on the lookout for that, because if you're the person who is the favorite, it may seem great, but the rest of the party's not happy with that. And if you're the person who is the least favorite, it is definitely not a good thing. So definitely big red flags for that, you know, kind of keep an eye out for things like that.
Also, honestly, DMs that don't take feedback into consideration. I am a huge proponent of checking in with my players. We have our little like stars and wishes moment after every session. You don't have to do it every time, obviously, but make sure every not super long, you're checking in with your players, making sure everyone's having a good time, everyone's having fun. Ask if there's anything they want to see more of or less of. Obviously, you don't have to necessarily change the entire campaign based on little bits of feedback, but tweaking it, making it more interesting, making it more fun. Maybe they say the encounters haven't been as fun, or maybe there's too many random encounters that feel meaningless or something like that. Or, oh, we haven't been able to get gear for a while, or, you know, all these things have been super easy or super hard or something like that. And that's feedback that as a DM you should take into account. And if need be, modify your game a little bit to kind of accommodate that sort of stuff. Because remember, at the end of the day, the whole idea is they are having fun and you are having fun. Everybody should be having fun. There'll be some times when some players or the DM is having a little more fun than the other, but that should be an outlier, not a norm, right? The whole idea is everybody should be having fun. And if people are not having fun, I want to, one, know about it. And two, I want to adjust things so that they can become more fun. And that's honestly, like at the end of the day, that's why I play. And so if you have someone that will not worry about that or kind of brushes off suggestions or concerns or things that you have, or it's just like just running through these brutal things time after time after time, and you're just like, this is hard, this is rough, I can't take this is not fun, like that's 100% something to watch out for.
Yeah. And then finally, basically just to piggyback exactly off of that, is just if you're not having fun, you know, not if the, you know, you've tried, you've seen some of these red flags, you've talked to your DM about things and is nothing's changing and you're just not having fun. Yeah, that's the biggest red flag that you can see. You know, don't go completely coming back just to play D&D. If like you dread going and you're there and you're not enjoying it, and then the game's over for the day and you leave and you're just like, why do I even do that? It's like, why do you even do that? No, D&D is better than bad D&D. And if you're not having fun, it's bad D&D.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. We'd also love to hear from you. Are there any other things that you would consider a red flag that we didn't talk about? We'd love to hear from you in the Discord. Because it's a great discussion to have. And I think it's very poignant at this point, just because of the online world that we live in, the changing of schedules, the shifting of people. A lot of people will find their games online.
Yep.
Not to say that these types of things can't happen in person, because they can and they have.
Mm-hmm.
One of my red flag, and just as Ben was alluding to, not having fun games, was an in-person game that after several like issues or red flags that weren't addressed, after one session, I was just like, I am not having fun with this. And so I quit, because no D&D is better than bad D&D. So, love to hear from you if you have anything else to add, because it's always good to make people aware of these, or at least be thinking about these as they join new groups or start new games. Okay. So we have a community content shout out this week. And this was an awesome resource that was linked in our Discord by Titsemi. And I know me and Ben known not the the greatest of AI lovers. Well, all that stuff we just talked about, there's a website for it. If you need help, there is an awesome website called ttrpgresources.com. This is an archive and a resource guide for human-made alternatives. It is a curated resource guide of practical tools, free art libraries, and incredible human artists. There are links to all sorts of different pieces of your TTRPG that you might need that are all human made and human curated. Whether it be trying to find artists, writing prompts, random tables, audio, puzzles, handouts, like city generators that are actual, like the stuff that has been around for forever. Like all these awesome tools, and this is kind of collecting a lot of them in one spot. So we will link this in the show notes on dndiscussions.com, but highly recommend you check this out if you're looking for art, if you're looking for inspiration, if you're looking for ideas, if you're looking for a name generator, because names are hard, right?
Yes, they
are. This is an absolutely wonderful resource for your campaigns.
Yeah, definitely fantastic. I highly recommend it. There's so much on here, and it's you know, pay what you can. It's free. It's all over the place. So recommend it.
All right. So with that, that is the end of our regular content. But of course, we usually like to talk about what we're doing in our own games before we close out the episode. So, Ben, have you gotten to play anything since when last we spoke?
I've been sick the entire time since last we spoke. So, yep. No.
Very sucky.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate.
Other than some real vivid, weird dreams, I couldn't say that I played.
I mean, that kind of counts a little bit.
Dude, the dream world version of Disneyland in my head is weird and barely makes sense. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. How about you, though? Did you get a chance to play?
I did get a chance to play. I actually have a game coming up this week. My last time I got to play was a few weeks back, because we ended up delaying a week longer than normal due to the holiday weekend and such that it was supposed to fall on. So a lot of it was, we have a few new players, and I had prepped, like they had started talking about, you know, going after, the bads, the Dezios,
mm-hmm.
Which have been this through line, kind of bad guys, them and their cohort throughout a lot of the campaign. But it was really kind of cool, and I'm glad it worked out this way, that it ended up being almost entirely an RP session that kind of set stuff up before any plan was actually to be executed. I think we rolled dice three times the entire session. Like three rolls. Like that was it. And honestly, sometimes those can be some of the best sessions when you barely roll anything. It was, I think, really needed because obviously getting new people to come into a campaign that has been going on for like 2+ years, it's hard. It's hard, even in person, even when you know each other and such. It's hard to just from a story perspective, integrate characters like that. I know we've talked several times in different episodes about doing like some of those types of things, integrating characters into an existing campaign, whether it be new people or just new characters from the same people. And so trying to apply a lot of those lessons, like making sure that, you know, meet with them at the outset and really develop characters, really dig in hooks into the world, really make them the characters feel lived, right? Like they actually belong where they're playing in instead of just some like, I just appeared on the street. My name is Broden.
Yeah.
I lived in this city all my life. Do I know anyone? Absolutely not. Cause I didn't think about that yet.
No, I was on the other side of town across the tracks. Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's just a big deal. We did, you know, like another session zero, call it session 0.5 type thing. Right. So we did that. We made sure that all the characters had hooks, that they had places they lived, that they had backgrounds, that they shared some contacts in common with existing players. That's a big one. So you can be like, I know this thing through that, and that we both know this guy, or, you know, whatever. Anything that can help hook them in better. But part of this whole thing is just letting the characters role play.
Yeah.
Letting the characters kind of talk, letting them kind of split off with each other and do things. Especially if they have shared interests or whatever. And so that happened this session. And it was, like I said, very light rolling, very heavy role play. And it was honestly exactly what we needed before we jumped into the action again.
That's good.
Because these characters now feel so much more grounded and have so much more, I guess, life with the party than they would have if we hadn't done something like this. So I think that's just honestly another tip is just whenever you have a situation like this, just give it the time you need to really integrate. Don't just try and just plow ahead. Let it settle a little bit. Let the players do their thing. Because sometimes those sessions, when you get to sit back, a lot of it as the DM and just listen, are some of my favorite.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's one of the things is that you know that your players are having a great time is when they, you know, spend a session RPing and just having fun and being in character in the world that you created. And, you know, you don't need combat every single time unless that's the kind of game that you're trying to play. But just letting the world kind of relax and breathe and exist can be some of the most rewarding for everybody at the table.
Yeah, it really can be. And so I had a lot of fun. I'm excited to get into it a little more this coming weekend as we get to hop back in. And I will probably talk about that next time we record. So, but until then, Ben, I'm glad you're feeling better. I hope you're able to play again soon. But that will bring us to the end of this episode. So before we go, as always, why don't you tell everyone where we can be reached?
of course. So there's a, you know, a few levels of ways to reach us. The first one is basically if you want to reach out to just Ryan and myself, you can always send us an email. That's going to be dndiscussions@gmail.com. You know, tell us about some of those red flags that you saw or have seen or have definitely used to stay away from games. Cause you know, there's no way that we covered everything because there's always something more out there. Now, if you want something that, you know, maybe a little bit more public, that's, you know, you can kind of reach out to us and, you know, we'll see it. Check us out on Blue Sky. The show is at DN Discussions. Ryan is at TBK Zord. I am at Ben Bumhofer. And you can find us there. You know, send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. It's also a great place to find out when new episodes are up. You know, we'll post it about it and let you know. The absolute best place to find us and actually engage in our community, as well as another place to find out when new episodes are up, and to just, you know, really kind of stay in contact with us, all of our friends who are there, as well as on our Discord server. And you can find a link to that on dndiscussions.com, which also has every single episode we have ever done. You can find it all on dndiscussions.com, a link to our Discord, as well as links to all of our Blue Sky accounts. If you're sitting here listening to the show and you're like, man, these guys sure do talk about D&D a whole bunch. I bet they don't even play. Well, one, Ryan just told you that he played. And two, you can actually hear me play on Plus Five to Hit. It is an actual play podcast. We're out there having fun when we can. And I recommend it partly because I'm on it, but also because I have a lot of fun playing it. So definitely check out Plus Five to Hit. That being said, though, this show, D&D Discussions, has been an absolute pleasure to record today, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I'm glad that I'm able to speak without just busting into cough
right now.
Because
I'm glad you're feeling better.
I mean, if this was recorded like last week at this time, I'd be like, Ryan, cough. How cough? Our cough. You cough today. Cough. Wouldn't have been.
And no one wants that.
No.
No one does. That.
If you do, don't let me know. I don't want to know about that. But anyways, so, you know, thanks for getting together with me this week to, you know, record the show. Listeners, thank you very much for all of your support listening. Again, join us on Discord. Talk to us. We love hearing from you and love hearing your stories. And until next time, everybody, roll high and be good to each other.
Take care, and we'll see you soon.